Mit lehan olatzo
home, right?
Yes, I did.
How difficult was it?
Difficult?
Why would it be difficult? Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden. Or visit mortgagemasters.com.
Namaskar, Rani Swagat Karta Haun, Richi Tumka Aicha Sushika Tanpar, Radio Programmer. मुझे सांगता आज असा मोनिक एनझेडएमएचे जनरल मॅनेजर आणि आमकां सांगतले तांचे इन्स्टिट्युशनांत कळ बरो प्रोग्रामांत ती शिकयतात म्हणून. सो वेलकम टू आवर प्रोग्राम दिस आफ्टरनून मोनिक.
थँक यू फॉर हॅविंग मी रिचर्ड.
ओ इट्स अ ग्रेट प्लेजर फॉर अस टू हॅव समबडी फ्रॉम एज्युकेशनल इन्स्टिट्युशन्स ऑन आवर प्रोग्राम. Because it gives us so much of an insight of what is happening in the educational world. And when we looked at your institution, we saw that you have many short-term programs which could appeal to the several passions that are there in our community and who may want to pursue them. Mm-hmm. Cooking, flower arrangement, running a cafe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Monique, there was Natasha Stacy to come, but I believe she's got some other personal engagements today, and so she's not here. So could you tell us something about yourself and what you'd like our listeners to know about you?
Thank you. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here again, Richard. My name is Monique Lamarck. You can probably tell from my accent and my last name that I'm not somebody who was born in New Zealand. So I was born in South Africa, and I have French and African ancestry. I am obviously an immigrant to New Zealand. My parents were both teachers and later on principals in South Africa. And if your listeners know anything about the history of South Africa, I basically grew up under an apartheid regime where people were segregated based on the color of their skin. However, I was always brought up to believe from my parents' teachings, obviously, that education is the equalizer. Education opens doors to people and allows you to dream and aspire and achieve. And out of that belief comes my passion for education.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So while growing up in Africa, you would have experienced sort of the heat from either side.
Absolutely.
So you didn't look like them?
Correct.
Or you're not a part of these people?
Correct.
So how did you manage?
I guess being a person who doesn't quite belong can, you know, you can feel quite isolated. But I think in terms of how I managed personally, it was really through the empowerment of my parents. You know, feeling empowered to dream, feeling empowered to realize those dreams. And as I said before, education has allowed me to realize my dreams. I mean, when I was going to school, at a school where I couldn't even understand the language people were speaking because it wasn't my mother tongue, because of the color of my skin, I had to go to that school. But, you know, it teaches you resilience. And back when I was at school, I never dreamt that I would be the general manager of an organization. And and here I am.
So what's your mother tongue, Monique?
So my mother tongue is English. However, I went to an Afrikaans medium school. Afrikaans is basically a language that is derived from Dutch, so the Dutch settlers that invaded Africa. And then at school, I also, German was one of the subjects that I took, so I'm fluent in English, Afrikaans, and German, and I also speak a little bit of Zulu.
Oh, okay. Okay, so can you give us a bit of a flavor of Afrikaans and a bit of a Zulu as such?
Certainly.
Just like as I said, Swagat Namaskar Aicha Sushagatan Par Programmat. So I said, Namaste, welcome to our Sushagatan Par Konkani program.
Yes.
So something like that.
Perfect. So what I will say basically in different languages is, hi, Richard, thank you for having me and welcome to Monique. So I'll do it in Afrikaans. Goeiemiddag, Richard. Baie dankie dat jy vir my hier kon bring.
Okay.
Welkom.
Okay.
So that's Afrikaans. The same in German. Hallo, Richard, wie geht's dir? Danke sehr, dass ich hier kann kommen.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, so for a variety of reasons, we are all here in this country.
Yes.
Okay, we won't go into that, why we are in this country, but how has the journey been so far for you?
It's been an interesting journey. It's certainly been a journey of growth. You know, especially in the early stages after having arrived in New Zealand, I was only 22 at the time. And I had a number of not so great experiences. So I've come
you didn't
in contact.
Have the TV experience.
Exactly. I think for some immigrants, we do get a raw deal when we come into a new country. You know, we leave our home countries for various reasons. For me, I left because of the danger and the fear factor in Africa. And we, you know, we bring our children here for a better life and a better opportunity than what we may have had growing up in our home countries. But what we leave behind is a little bit of ourself.
Oh, okay.
We leave behind our mother tongue. We leave behind the culture that we're used to, the tastes, the sounds, the smells of home. And so it can be quite a scary experience coming into a new country where everything is new and you don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. But therein lies the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And as a woman, as an immigrant, as a woman of color, I believe every human being has it in themselves to overcome any challenge that is thrown their way.
So now that you are the GM of an institution called NZME, what does it feel like? All that hard work has paid off, or is still there a long journey to go?
For me, Richard, I'm almost there. I think, for my opinion anyway, we never stop learning and we never stop growing and we should never stop dreaming. Right now, I'm obviously a middle-aged woman, but I certainly haven't fulfilled all of my dreams. I haven't reached the pinnacle of my career by any means. And, you know, when I do leave this earth, this world, whatever, I want to leave a strong, positive legacy, not one filled with wealth or pomp or ceremony, but one where I can know that I have changed and touched the lives of people who started out just like me.
So NZMA is an institution which could give you that sort of a platform.
Oh, absolutely.
And, okay. Absolutely. So what is this institution?
So NZMA obviously is an acronym. It actually stands for New Zealand Management Academies, NZMA. We've been around for quite a while, so in excess of 10 years, recently celebrated. We are a very, very large organization. We are, in fact, the largest private training establishment in New Zealand, in the country.
Wow.
We have 10 campuses around the country. We operate from the main centres of Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington and Christchurch. And we cater to both domestic and international students. Oh. However, we predominantly cater to domestic students, so people who live, who reside in New Zealand on a permanent basis.
So who are the people behind it? Are they some donors or academicians or businessmen, going back to some of the tertiary institutions that have not had a good run here in this country?
That's
and a
right.
name that is not looked upon very kindly.
That's
how
right.
How do you sort of... who are the people actually behind it? Who are these?
So, as you've just said, Richard, education or tertiary education in New Zealand has, for the last 4 years, had a massive shake-up. We had a review of qualifications, of national qualifications by NZQA, and that actually saw a number of small providers with possibly not so good reputations. So a number of them disappear, actually being closed down. And from my personal point of view, I think that's a good thing. You know, people pay good money, hard-earned money, to come and study. And we, as providers of education, should provide them with outstanding service and quality education and a quality qualification that they really should be able to take anywhere in this country and even anywhere in this world. So tertiary education in New Zealand has had a bit of a shake-up, and the face of education in New Zealand has completely changed. Similarly so, NZMA was a standalone private training establishment. However, in 2015, we were purchased by a much larger institution called ACG, ACG meaning Academic Colleges Group. And you may be familiar with ACG, Richard. They have a number of...
institutions across.
Correct. Across early childhood, primary schools, secondary schools. And we basically make up the tertiary arm of ACG. So they are predominantly known for having, private schools, offering private education to quite wealthy people or children from wealthy families. Whereas... NZMA, we look after the domestic market, and we really look after people who are considered in the industry, they're looked upon as second chance learners. And what that means is you know, a young person who may not necessarily have been successful in school. They may have dropped out of school. They may have left school and not achieved NCA level 2 or 3. It could be referring to mothers who have been single mothers or, you know, working in the home for most of their lives, and they might reach the age of 40 or 50 and decide, you know what, my children have left home and I want to go and do something for myself. I want to learn a skill, a vocational skill, that I can take out into the workplace and actually earn money. So that's who NZMA, that's basically our client base. Back in 2015, we were acquired, purchased by ACG. And from my perspective, I actually looked at this as a very positive and powerful thing. You know, ACG brought with it financial resource and has poured those financial resources into our NZMA schools. You know, we have purpose-built campuses. We have iPads that our students can use. All of these things that we may not necessarily have been able to offer previously when we were a standalone PTE. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that this is a second chance institution as such. What is the reason why? Do you go behind the reasoning why people drop out, or and then you sort of tailor your programs? Or do you say, okay, this is my market, let me go out and push my products? So what do you exactly, how do you really try to position your programs to these people?
I think how we've positioned ourselves is really because of the educational landscape. I think, you know, schools, formal education, so primary and secondary school, they provide formal education, compulsory education for a particular demographic. University serves the purpose and the needs of a particular demographic of students who have excelled at school, and students who really are going to be successful no matter what.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We, on the other hand, our niche, our market is with those people who, for whatever reason, and often it's social circumstance that has caused them not to achieve their goals and their aspirations. So for many of our students, the students that we serve, these are students coming from often single-parent families, homes, you know, in low socioeconomic areas, people for whom English is a second language, people for whom New Zealand is a new country, people with disabilities, whether that's a learning disability or a social disability.
So you're saying that, you know, age is not a factor?
Absolutely not.
Anytime you want to study, here we are, here is an opportunity that we can give you.
Absolutely.
So it's more of a social outreach plus teaching people how to fish rather than giving them...
Correct.
Or
correct.
Just giving them dough as such.
Yeah.
So on that note, let's listen to one of our chefs, because...
Hi, today we're making chili paneer. To make chili paneer, you need 1/2 kg paneer, 2 sliced capsicums, 2 sliced onions, 2 sliced tomatoes, 4 tablespoons cashew nut or almond powder, 4 tablespoons tomato sauce, 1/4 cup of cream or milk, 2 teaspoons crushed ginger garlic, 1/2 teaspoon turmeric powder, 2 teaspoons coriander powder, 4 teaspoons chili powder, 1 teaspoon salt and 1 cup water. Method: heat 2 tablespoons of oil, fry your onions till brown. Then add capsicums and fry some more. Add your spices: ginger garlic crushed, turmeric powder, coriander powder, chili powder, and saute well. Now add your tomatoes and fry some more. Add 1 cup water, salt, cream, tomato sauce, cashew powder, and give the curry one good boil. Add your paneer pieces and boil for 1 minute more. Shut off gas. Enjoy.
Well, that was Ivy Fernandez, the East Indian chef. She's got her own site and she keeps sending us recipes every week as such to be broadcasted as such. So you also have a program for chefs, but let's learn more about all the programs that you have. Until that time, let's listen to this East Indian song, which is the flavor of the month in or rather the flavor of the year, I would rather say, in the East Indian community.
Paskinche bapasa hai bangla, paskinche whatever hai hilla, paskinche bapasa hai bangla.
Paskinche, paskinche, paskinche palaya dosinne. Paskinche, paskinche, paskinche palaya dosinne. Paskin, paskin, paskin che palayo dostin. Paskin, paskin, paskin che palayo dostin. Paskin nesle gulzari, paskin che matyan hai kari. 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 बापाचे शेतवारी पासकिनचे घरा पोंपोंगारी पासकिनचे बापाचे शेतवारी पासकिनचे घरा पोंपोंगारी पासकिने पासकिने पासकिनचे पल्लायो दोस्ती पासकिने पासकिने पासकिनचे पल्लायो दोस्ती.
Paskincha gora so bichera, paskin chalgo majhe ghara. Paskincha gora so bichera, paskin chalgo majhe ghara. Paskincha gora so bichera, paskin chalgo majhe ghara. Paskincha gora so bichera, paskin chalgo majhe ghara.
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगात दनपार कोंकणी प्रोग्राम आणि मुझे सांगत आज असा मोनिक एनझेडएमएचे जनरल मॅनेजर. एनझेडएमए एक एड्युकेशन इन्स्टिट्यूट, टर्शरी एड्युकेशन इन्स्टिट्यूट, गिविंग एन अपॉर्च्युनिटी टू पीपल हू हॅव नॉट रिअली मेड इट टू दॅट लेवल ॲट देअर एड्युकेशन इन द स्कूल्स ऑर इन द युनिव्हर्सिटीज ऑर इन कॉलेजेस. सो वी मोनिक, वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट द अपॉर्च्युनिटी दॅट यू गिव्ह टू पीपल who are not so brilliant and not so great. So what are the options that you have, or what are the programs that NZMA runs? And what are the choices that they have that they can pick from?
So as I said before, Richard, we have 10 campuses across New Zealand. Each campus operates, you would almost say, as a little school in itself, and they offer a variety of programs as well. So we have, for example, a trades campus, which is based in Mount Wellington. And at that trades campus, we only offer trades programs. So construction, electrical engineering, painting and plastering, plumbing, gas fitting and drain laying. That, the offering of programs that we have there are hugely popular. And that's honestly because there are so many building projects in Auckland. There's a massive shortage of houses. There's a massive labor demand and skill shortage. So we are one of the organizations working towards filling that need, or filling that gap. So that's our trades campus and the programs that we offer there. Then we have a campus based in Manukau, just off Great South Road. That campus specializes in early childhood education programs, health programs, pharmacy, and those are the three main streams in that campus. We have another campus in also in Sylvia Park. That campus specializes in cookery programs, so culinary arts, which is the more top-line chefing type program, cookery, which is your everyday, you know, home cook, hospitality, so that's around making coffees, serving customers, working on a till, etc. So that's that campus. We also offer business programs, retail programs, floristry, pharmacy, contact center, so how to work in a call center, for example. So those are the programs that we offer in a nutshell.
So what's the minimum criteria that a new student or anybody who is aspiring to join either of these camps, what's the minimum criteria that they should have?
So we do have what is called the eligibility criteria that people must meet. So we can only accept students 15 years and older.
Okay.
So we generally talk about 15 to 55. And there's a reason why.
So people above 55 can't come, is
not
it?
Not necessarily. So let me get into that reason. So the reason why we start at 15 is because that is the legal age that a student can leave school, so formal education. At the age of 15, students do need to leave with special dispensation from the Ministry of Education. Once they have that special dispensation, they can then join a program with us. The reason why we say 55 as our guideline is basically because of student loans and allowances. There is eligibility criteria for those based on age that a student would have to meet. Students also must have either New Zealand or Australian permanent residence or citizenship to be able to study with us. Mm-hmm. And that's the full extent.
Oh, so you're saying that students can get some funding or loans for doing these programs?
Absolutely. And I guess that's the beauty of New Zealand, which to me as an immigrant really is the land of milk and honey, because in our countries back home, you know, not everyone has these opportunities. So first of all, not all of our courses are actually fee-paying courses.
Okay.
I think people in New Zealand are all familiar now with the fact that the Labour government, when they came into power, created fees free, which basically means that a student can study free of charge. So they don't pay a fee to the education provider. There is also something else called Youth Guarantee. And that basically means that any student aged between 15 and 19 years old can study for free. So they don't pay a fee to the training provider. Students who are not eligible either for Youth Guarantee funding or fees-free funding can apply for a student loan. Oh. To apply for a student loan, you would apply through StudyLink, which is the provider of student loans. So StudyLink, which is a government entity, provides student loans as well as student allowance. So the student loan is to pay the fees to the provider, and the allowance is basically weekly income for people to live on, you know, buy food, rent, etc., while they study.
So given the fact that, well, these programs are funded by the government in some form or the other, what is the average period for which you have these programs? I mean, if I'm doing a trades program or if I'm doing a chef's program or trying to study skills of being employed at a contact center, what's the average period and what's the cost of paying for these programs?
Okay. So we, for the most part, our programs either range from 20-week programs, so basically 6 months, to 40-week programs, which is roughly a year. In terms of the cost of programs, the cost is generally determined by the level of resourcing required for a program. So with our trades programs, for example, when a student enrolls in a program with us and they start the course, they are equipped with safety boots, a tool belt, a set of tools, personal and protective safety wear, goggles, earmuffs, you name it, gloves, that's what they get. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is a health and safety standard, so we supply them with that, but that is also part of the fees. Mm-hmm. So while a trades program might cost a student between $4,000 and $6,000, or it could be free if they are eligible for fees-free funding, you may have a health program which is less heavily resourced, and that program might cost $2,000 or $3,000. So the cost of the program really varies depending on the duration, so how long the course goes, but also the resources that are provided as part of the program.
So tell me, you know, with all the sort of encouragement that the government provides, as you said, this is a country of milk and honey. What's the fallout ratio? What's the turnover ratio in terms of how many people complete the program and how many people fall off the program as such?
So, it within the industry, it varies. Some providers have quite low retention rates, is what we call it, and graduation rates. I obviously can only speak for NZMA, and I can very proudly, and I am really proud to say this, Richard, our graduation rates, so that's the amount of people that stay on the course and leave with the qualification, are in excess of 80%.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that is very, very high in the industry.
Because it takes quite a bit to motivate people who are not really inclined but have got different other pressures.
Issues, correct.
Yeah, so to stay on the program. And so that's a great achievement. So what do you do apart from the education part of it and the funding part of it? What sort of motivational programs that you run to retain them on the campus and to complete the program?
I believe, Richard, And this is also based on the research that we've done over the years, you know, reflecting on what we do as an organization. What sets us apart from every other provider is obviously not just the programs that we offer, because most providers offer the same thing, to be fair. It's everything else that is not core business. So we provide, for example, breakfast for all students, you know, before classes start. So students can go into the kitchen, make toast, make cereal, whatever. It's all there and it's all free of charge. We assist our youth guarantee students with a travel allowance. So they get a hop card and they can use that to get to class every day. We offer career support. So we actually have a dedicated team of careers and employment advisors who assist students to write a CV, to practice interview skills, to find a job. We have a post-placement support for those students who we have found employment for. So up to 12 months after they've gained a job, our advisors still work with them and the employer to ensure that they stay in that job. Mm-hmm. Every program at NZMA consists of a work placement or an internship. So with an early childhood education program, for example, the program might be 40 weeks long, but for 5 of those weeks, NZMA will place you into an early child care center where you actually for 5 weeks become their employee. Mm-hmm. So you know, you get real life experience of working with children, and it is really the opportunity for students to take the theory that they've learnt in class and put that theory into practice in a real placed work environment where they experience all the pressures that come with being an employee.
Okay. So looking at the criteria, I don't think I fit into any of those programs.
Well, you'd be surprised. You might do, Richard.
Okay. But there are certain passions that many of us have, you know. Somebody wants to be a very good barista, or somebody wants to be a damn good chef. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to learn some basic techniques of flower arrangement and so on and so forth. So what are these programs like? How much does it cost? And what is required from our side as such?
Okay, I'll pick one program.
Say flower making, floristry.
Floristry.
Yeah.
So the cost of floristry, which is a 20-week program, is $4,385.
Okay.
For the duration of the program, so what that would entitle a student to is attending a face-to-face class instruction from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. They would obviously get all the things that we've just spoken about, the assistance with CV preparation, helping them find a placement so that they can practice the skills they're learning. they actually do the hands-on learning as well as the theory in class. So they actually arrange flowers. So we have, for example, in our Mount Wellington campus, we have a class of floristry, but we also have a kitchen where students are cooking and a restaurant where students are serving. So our floristry students make the arrangements that go onto the tables in the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And that works. It works brilliantly for us. And again, you know, the real life environment is what students experience.
So on that note, let's listen to a program. Let's listen to a song called Aaja Sarken Chedu.
Oh, Magani zai.
Wolo hatteria ani weng maria paula dolovia kand kush karya mog ras karya dole kilavia ani rock and roll ho na sa sake ami marjen keloya
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगातन पार कोंकणी प्रोग्राम आणि मुझे सांगत आज असा मोनिक एनझेडएमएचे जनरल मॅनेजर ते आमकां सांगता की तांच्या इन्स्टिट्युशनांत खरले पुरो प्रोग्रामांत ते आमकां शिकयत म्हणून या आमच्या भुरग्यांक आमी तांकां तांचे कडेन धाडून शिकयत म्हणून. So Monique, you talked about the different programs, you talked about the cost for those programs and what they get at the end of the program in terms of a certificate or a degree or some sort of a qualifications. So tell us, how do people approach your institution? Where do they approach your institution? And how do they go about this whole process?
Okay. So, Richard, we obviously do quite a bit of marketing, advertising, and so we have a website, a company website. So for people who have access to a computer and internet, they could visit our website, which is www.nzma.ac.nz. That's www.nzma.ac.nz. Alternatively, they can call us. So we have a free 0800 number. They can ring us on 0800-222-833. That's 0800-222-833. Alternatively, they can actually just walk into one of our campuses at any time between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Every one of our campuses has a sales and enrollment team that are on site. So if they could just walk into a campus and ask the receptionist if they could see an enrollment advisor, they will be able to be seen on the spot.
So do you all run some sort of away from your site, do you all run some sort of a camp or
an exhibition site where you put up your board and say, hey, we are in ZME, this is what we do. So if you want to have a cup of coffee, these are our students who can come and demonstrate to you how they have been coached. So do you run such sort of fairs anywhere within Auckland or any other part of the country?
So every single one of our campuses has what we call open days.
Oh, okay.
There are a variety of dates, which unfortunately I don't have with me, but they would be on our website. So there are a variety of dates throughout the year where campuses have open days, and basically that means the campus is opened up to anyone coming off the street.
Mm-hmm.
They can walk in, they can walk through the campus, have a look at the classes. They can actually physically sit in a class with students and experience a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk to the campus manager, to tutors, to enrollment advisors. They can talk to other students about, you know, mm-hmm. What's it like studying here? How's your journey been so far? And, you know, apart from the open days, they can walk in any time and do that.
Mm-hmm. So one last question, and that's on international students. Most of them, we all know, they're all coming here because they want to be permanent resident.
Correct.
They want to live here longer than just for the sake of studying.
Yes.
So what's the program for international students?
So any international student would be eligible to enroll in any one of our programs. However, here's the kicker, really, Richard. An international student pays three times the fees that a domestic student pays. And the reason behind that is that while a student pays the institution a fee, the government pays the rest of that fee. Whereas for an international student, the government will not provide any subsidy. Hence, the very large amount that international students pay for fees. For NZMA, our markets for international students is Asia. So we have students from predominantly China, Korea, India is a very big market for us, Sri Lanka, and we're starting to see students coming through from countries like Nepal, etc. With international students, though, there is a list that is held by immigration, and it's called a skills shortage list. That list gets updated very often by government agencies. And so as a provider, we always offer, or we look to offer, programs in where the skill shortages lie. So culinary arts, hospitality, engineering, IT and ICT programs, and now even teaching. So those are, for example...
Those are the hot ones.
Those are the hot ones. That's where the skills shortages exist.
Oh, okay.
So that's what international students will...
So can you just repeat it again for our listeners?
Yes,
which are the hot areas where if you want to get your nieces and nephews into this country on a long-term basis and they require tertiary sort of education, that these are the programs at NZMA... or rather what the government has identified as shortage skills.
Correct.
So, there you go.
So I'll start again. So within trades, construction, electrical engineering and plumbing are areas of trades where there are skill shortages. Early childhood education and pre-teaching qualifications have shortages. Health and health workers are shortages. Culinary arts and hospitality. So those are the main seven where there are skill shortages currently in New Zealand.
So do you hold camps in India or do you have contact points in India? Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you have the numbers?
Absolutely. So we have, this can be found on our website, we have international agents who are assigned to NZMA and are employed by NZMA who actually operate in the international market. So we have people based in Asia, in India, in South Africa, for example, and they basically recruit and market our programs internationally. And then we have onshore agents. They are based in our campuses.
So that was a great piece of sharing, Monique. At least I enjoyed and learned quite a bit about what NZMA is and what it offers. I hope my listeners or our listeners had a good time listening to you. And so thank you for having made it. Deo Baren Karu means God bless you. So
thank
can you,
you very
respond
much.
In Afrikaans?
Baie dankie en mag God met jou wees.
Oh, thank you very much. On that note, let's listen to some music. And I hope you have a very nice evening and a good weekend.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.